God, or it may be the power of Satan. And one of the features about both cursings and blessings is when they come, they usually continue from generation to generation to generation, so that a person who is experiencing either blessing or cursing may not easily discern where it comes from, because it may be in the past even hundreds of years. Interestingly enough, I was teaching on this in Adelaide, and we had a dramatic response there, and a lady wrote me a letter afterwards. Her ancestors were from Scotland. They were from a clan called Nixon, and she knew, she had the historical evidence, which she gave me a photocopy of, that because of clan wars between the Scots and the English in the 16th century, the Bishop of the Church of Scotland had put a curse on that clan. And she realized that, how many centuries later? 4 centuries later, things were happening in her family which were due to that curse that went back more than 4 centuries. Now you can be raise your eyebrows and look surprised, but I'm going to show you biblical examples of this. So curses and blessings are words that are charged with supernatural power, maybe the power of God, maybe the power of the devil. They are words which impinge on people's lives and to a large extent determine their destiny, and most often they will go on from generation to generation, even for thousands of years. Now, if there is a curse on your life, I want to say right out tonight, God can give you a solution. He has provided a solution. But let me first of all give you an overall picture of this situation. First of all, let's take a couple of examples of blessings. The first is in Genesis 22, where Abraham had just been willing to offer up his son Isaac in response to the Lord's requirement, and then at the last moment the Lord provided a ram to be offered instead of Isaac. And then the Lord spoke to Abraham from heaven, and he said in Genesis 22 verse 16, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying, I will multiply your seed or your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." Notice that the blessing was going to go on to Isaac's descendants. And then it says, "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." It's very important to notice the reason for the blessing. Because Abraham obeyed God's voice. That is the basic reason for the blessing of God. Then if you look on a little further in Genesis chapter 27, you find how Isaac blessed his son Jacob. But the strange thing is, if you remember the story, that Isaac thought he was blessing Esau, who was the firstborn. But while Esau was off hunting the venison, which Isaac had asked for, Rebekah, Isaac's husband, substituted Jacob, who was her favorite son, and in order to get away with the deception, because Isaac was blind, she dressed Jacob up in Esau's clothes and cooked a kid of the goats instead of the venison, serving it up the way her husband liked it, and took the skin of the kids of the goats and wrapped them around Jacob's neck and arms so that he would seem hairy like Esau, because Jacob was a very smooth man and Esau was a very hairy man. So along comes Jacob pretending to be Esau, and Isaac checks and says, "Are you my son Esau?" And Jacob says, "Yes, I am." He told a lie. And then Isaac blessed him, and this is the blessing. I'll read it. Beginning of verse 24, "Then he," Isaac, "said, are you really my son Esau?" He must have felt there was something strange. And he said, I am. And Isaac said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you. I think you have to see that Isaac was a little bit carnal. He wanted his stomach filled with his favorite food before he could pronounce the blessing. And years ago, I gave a teaching on how a wrong attitude to food corrupted the family life of Isaac. I wish I could do it today, but I can't. So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his clothing. Remember, it was Esau's clothing. And blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren. And let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. Understand, that blessing was tremendous in its scope, and it went on from generation to generation. Now, a little while later, in comes Esau with the venison, tries to offer it to his father, and his father realizes he's been deceived and that he blessed Jacob when he thought he was blessing Esau. But listen, this is Isaac's reaction in verse 33, when he discovers the deception. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. Isn't that amazing? Because Isaac thought he was blessing Esau. But he knew the words that he'd pronounced didn't come from himself. You understand? It was a prophetic blessing. And because it was prophetic, he couldn't unsay it. So Jacob got the blessing. Esau didn't. But I want you to see the nature of blessing. That it's supernatural. It's not just a wishful thought. It's not just kind sentiments. It's something that is supernaturally empowered and determines people's destinies. That's true alike of blessing and curse. Now, we're going to turn to the opposite theme, curses. First of all, I'd like to turn for a moment to Proverbs 26, verse 2. Proverbs 26, 2. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. That's very important. If there is a curse, there's a cause for it. And in many cases, in order to be released from the curse, it's important to discover the cause. The curse never comes causeless. Now, I'm going to look at some sources of curses, different sources of curses. First of all, God himself. God has many times pronounced a curse on nations, on individuals. It's one of God's severest forms of judgment. I'd like to look, first of all, at the calling of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. This is where God called Abraham, when he was still called Abraham, to go out from his city, Ur of the Chaldees, and so on. And there is actually seven stages to this call. If you look in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Now, note the sevenfold calling of Abraham. Number one, I will make you a great nation. Number two, I will bless you. Number three, I will make your name great. Number four, you shall be a blessing. Number five, I will bless those who bless you. Number six, I will curse him who curses you. And number seven, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's the sevenfold call of Abraham and God's sevenfold destiny for Abraham. But notice the sixth one is a curse on everyone who curses Abraham. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And you see, that goes for Abraham and his descendants, Isaac, Jacob,